بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، وما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, inshallah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be discussing a bayan that was delivered by our Arif Billah, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, many years ago. And the title was, What is the Reality of Tasawwuf? Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi had given this discourse, and he clarified in this bayan of his the misunderstandings and the misconceptions surrounding tasawwuf. In Urdu we see Piri Muridi. Piri is the Sheikh, and Murid, the one who follows the Sheikh. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, say he vividly exposes the innovations of fake Piris or Sheikhs, and guides his readers to follow the pure, pristine path of Sharia and Sunnah. Many people, due to incorrect motives and ignorance, have taken Tasawwuf, which is Piri Muridi, to be a combination of weird rituals and made-up innovations. Whereas the whole purpose of tasawwuf is to gain the love of Allah Ta'ala through complete adherence to the teachings of Sharia and Sunnah. And this love, however, must be attained from one who has tread this path and learned it from someone else before him. Similarly, that person must have attained knowledge from one who has qualified in that particular field under the supervision of qualified teachers. Take the example of medicine. Just as a self-taught doctor is not reliable in the medical field, similarly the one who has not attained spirituality from a qualified and reliable sheikh or peer is not a genuine peer. Rather, he becomes a fake peer. The sign and distinguishing quality of a true sheikh or peer is his complete adherence to the Sharia and Sunnah. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentioned, he started his bayan, he said, Allah Ta'ala grants his chosen servants such honor and dignity that even the hearts of the kings and emperors tremble in awe of them. But this greatness is only attained when Allah Ta'ala has entered the heart. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives his close and loyal servants izzat, honor and dignity, such honor and respect that even the kings and emperors don't enjoy. And they in fact tremble in awe before these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Hazrat says, this greatness is only attained when Allah ta'ala has entered the heart. It should not be like the example of a sign outside a tent where it is written, this is Layla's tent. We know the story of Layla and Majnu. So this is written there, this is Layla's tent. However, when one peeks inside, one realizes that instead of Layla, there is a dog tied up in the tent. This is exactly the example of a person who adopts the garb of the pious, and in spite of this, he does not abstain from sins and evil deeds. He is wearing the title of Mawla, or Mawla Wala, with a full Sharia beard. Shari'i beard is with a topi. But if one happens to peek into his heart, we find his heart is filled with filth, and only ghayrullah in his heart. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah cleanse and purify our hearts. So we may have the outward garb of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people might think us to be Allah walas. But in reality, what is in our heart, only Allah Ta'ala knows what type of filth we have. And therefore, the unwan and the topic was, what is tasawwuf? What is the reality of tasawwuf? How do we recognize the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah ta'ala has to come into the person's heart. This is the main thing. If he has Mawla, Mawla means master, Allah in his heart, then his face will interpret that which is within it. This is because the face is a reflection and an interpreter of what is in the heart. If this love of Allah Ta'ala in the heart, then this love will become manifest on the face. This is in fact the explanation of a hadith sharif in which it is mentioned, Rasulullah says, regarding the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you make them out? إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. When these people are looked at, when they are seen, then Allah is remembered. In other words, when you just see these people, immediately you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, he who has attained Allah ta'ala in his heart, has in fact purified his heart from غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. غَيْرُ اللَّهِ means besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who has attained Allah in his heart, has in fact purified his heart from غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. On one occasion, someone had come to Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And after casting evil glances, this person comes into the room where Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala is seated. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala just looks up and he says, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَتَرَشَّحُ مِنْ أَعْيُنِهِمْ الزِّنَا. What is the condition of people that I can see zina trickling down their eyes? So this is the brilliant rays of Allah's love that shine from the eyes of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got such a pure heart that now even the eyes also Allah ta'ala gives it some noor in which they are able to see so many things that we naturally are unable to see. The brilliant rays of Allah's love shine from the eyes of the friends of Allah. And the stench of dead corpse come from the lovers of ghairullah. Hazrat says there was a time, he gives the example of the Shaykh's reverence in the heart of a murid. He said there was a time when the mansions of high ranking Nawabs were very wealthy people, like the mayors of the town, the very, very lofty rank they had in positions and they were very rich. So he said there was a road in Aligarh in India where all these Nawabs used to live. About 40 years ago, through the blessings of my Shaykh, he says, I compiled some couplets in which these Nawabs were being addressed. At that time, as a simple and poor student of deen, I went with my Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, to visit Nawab Chatri. However, through the blessings of my Shaykh, I did not allow the greatness of those Nawabs to enter my heart. They had huge bungalows and lofty mansions and they had vehicles. He says, but I did not allow the greatest of those Nawabs to enter my heart. My Shaykh used to say that the murid who did not attain the love of Allah Ta'ala from his Shaykh, but just rather enjoyed the delicious foods and had a good time traveling around, became deprived of Allah Ta'ala. My Shaykh used to say that the murid who did not attain the love of Allah Ta'ala from his Shaykh, but rather enjoyed delicious foods. Whenever a Shaykh goes somewhere, and people give dawat, so the murid just enjoys the delicious foods, and he has a good time traveling around, he became deprived of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala had given me tawfiq, Hazrat Ari Billah Rahman says, gave me the ability that I had made no attempts to win the favor of the Nawabs and the rich people with flattery. On the other hand, these days the condition of the murid is such that if a wealthy individual comes to visit the Shaykh, then the murid does not even look at his Shaykh. Though his glance is only at that rich person. If the murid happens to be a principal of some institution, then he'll follow this wealthy person around with his receipt book, ready for donations, and attempt to show him his institution. Listen attentively to what I have to say. There is no benefit in running after the creation, the makhluq of Allah. Only crying before Allah Ta'ala and humbling oneself before the Creator will benefit us. Nevertheless, through the blessing of my Shaykh, I addressed those Nawabs with the following couplets. بہت خوشنما ہے یہ بنگلے تمہارے. It says, very luxurious are these mansions of yours, referring to those Nawabs. This multitude of expensive vases, these colorful sights. Oh, by what support are you living your life? ارے جی رہے ہو یہ کس کے سہارے کہ مرنے سے ہو جائیں گے سب کنارے. That after death, all those supports that you are holding on to now will step aside. If you have not attained the closeness of the Lord of spring, then you have attained dry autumn, but not spring. Then Hazrat Rahmatullah, he had also mentioned another couplet somewhere else. He says, in the lap of my poverty, the crown of Caesar, the king, is hidden. In the lap of my poverty, the crown of Caesar is hidden. A small amount of dard-e-dil is no less than attaining both worlds. But he has mentioned about Dard-e-Dil after mentioning those couplets of to the Nawabs, and he had mentioned that Allah in your heart, if you spend time correctly with your mentor and you have inculcate in yourself the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when this nur of Allah ta'ala and the love of Mullah comes in your heart, then your heart will become the possessor of divine light. And thereafter, you'll be a different person altogether. You will spread the sweet fragrance of Dard-e-Dil. What is Dard-e-Dil? The pain and grief experienced in the heart due to intense love and longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dard means pain, dil means heart. So we're not talking about an ache and pain because of some physical pain, or not because a person has lost some material things in this world, but this Dard-e-Dil is different. This is when a person is mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this love is so much that it causes him some pain which he would love to share to others also. So this is Dard-e-Dil. Wherever you go, you will spread the sweetness or the sweet fragrance of this Dard-e-Dil, whether it's by the riverside, whether it's in the jungles or by the mountainside. And we have seen our mashayikh, wherever you travel with them, you may be by the seaside. Other people are doing different other things at the seaside. But these people, they are watching the ocean and they are connecting themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the person goes to the mountainside, even in the condition where your clothes are tattered out of poverty, the people of wealth and luxury will salute you and search for you saying, where is the one who was dispensing the tonic of Dard-e-Dil? Where has he set up his shop? So as it says, in the lap of my poverty, the crown of Caesar is hidden. A small amount of Dard-e-Dil is no less than attaining both worlds. That is what we require. Even if it is just a small bit of real, intense love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says that the light of the lamp of life, the light of the lamp of life is very weak and dim. Along with this, the winds of mort and death are constantly blowing and could extinguish the lamp of life at any time. Therefore, as it says, make an effort to attain the lamp of the love of Allah Ta'ala in your heart. Make an attempt to attain the lamp of the love of Allah Ta'ala in your heart, so that when the lamp of this temporary life is extinguished, the everlasting emergency lights of Allah Ta'ala ignite from within. Subhanallah. It says, when this lamp of life is extinguished, then immediately the emergency lights of Allah Ta'ala ignite from within. The example of this is like the electricity that went off a minute ago. It happened that time there in Karachi, and happens here quite often now. So the moment the lights go off, there's no electricity, we find that the generator switches on and it causes the lights to turn on. So you see, the winds are strong and the lamp is weak. Quickly we must find another lamp. The lamp is weak, winds are blowing furiously. O people of the world, quickly make an effort in lighting another lamp. Jalaluddin is not a fool. Through the blessing of Shaykh Shamsuddin Tabrizi, Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi, his Shaykh was Shamsuddin Tabrizi rahmatullahi. He said, I have lit the lamp of Allah's nisbat, the ta'alluq, the connection with Allah, by adopting the sunnah and by abstaining from all sins. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi says, when death approaches and the eyes close, the divine lamp of Allah's love is immediately set alight in the hearts of the friends of Allah. Just as the generator turns on and the lights immediately come back. So perhaps your eyes close and you leave this world, but still you have the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the eyes close from this temporary life, all the buildings and the bungalows and the luxurious cars, the businesses, the dealings and beautiful women will all come to an end. We will all have to leave this world one day. He says, whilst in Hardoi in India, I had composed a couplet regarding the instability of this temporary world. As Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was traveling with Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi on a rickshaw at the time. So Hazrat Ari Billah Zakim Sahib rahmatullahi tells Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and Mufti Mahmud Sahib was the Grand Mufti of India. So Hazrat tells him, I've composed a couplet. Mufti Sahib, when he heard the couplet, he said, you must mentioned this to your Shaykh, Mullah Abdul al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And what is this poem, this couplet? This garden will one day become a desert. Ye chaman sehrabi hoga. Ye khabar bulbul ko do. Inform this, or tell this to the nightingale, so that it may think before sacrificing its life. In other words, one day we all have to leave this world. This garden that we are enjoying, all these buildings and these cars and comfort and dunya will come to an end. So tell the nightingale before it sacrifices its life that it should think wisely and do the correct thing. In other words, the person is addressing himself that before maut comes, I must prepare for maut. To serve the awliya and to adopt the company does not mean that you have your eyes fixed on the wealthy murids. Therefore, I urge you to attain the love of Allah Ta'ala from the awliya. I take an oath by Allah Ta'ala that the people of the world will rush to serve you. Do not become like the grape worm. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali had given the example of this worm that's going up the tree and it sees those cluster of grapes. It went to eat the grapes but was deceived by the green leaves of the grape. Thinking a leaf to be the grape, it spent its whole life on the leaf and died on that very leaf and was deprived of the actual enjoyment of the grape. Similarly, many murids come to attain the love of Allah Ta'ala, but become lost in the glamour and glitter of the world. In this way, they leave the world deprived of Allah Ta'ala's love. May Allah Ta'ala save us all. Ameen. So this is, who is the true murid and who is the true sheikh? Just this morning, of course this is years ago, Allah Ta'ala inspired my heart, Hazrat Ali Billah says, Rahmatullah Ali, with an incredible topic. Who is the true murid? Asli murid kaun hai? He says, the true murid is the one whose murad, the aim and objective is Allah Ta'ala. So who the murid is, who is he trying to attain? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now, who is the true shaykh? Asal peer kaun hai? The true shaykh is the one who guides his murid to this desired objective. He supplicates to Allah Ta'ala and cries from the depths of his heart on his behalf of the murid. This is true tasawwuf. Therefore, the true murid is the one whose objective is the being of Allah Ta'ala. This verse of Quran Sharif, yuriduna wajha, they desire him, declares that the real objective of the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala is the being of Allah Ta'ala. Thus, every murid should take stock of himself in the light of this verse, whether he is a true murid or not. If our murad, our goal or objective is truly the being of Allah Ta'ala, then we will never look at ghayrullah. As for that murid who casts evil glances and looks at ghayrullah, then know that his intention is still deficient and he is still not fully matured. He sees the kebab, which you all know kebab, of his nisbat is still raw. Subhanallah. The kebab of his nisbat is still raw. Whomsoever eats raw kebab, it will be tasteless. And others who associate with him will also remain without taste. It is not possible that the true Allah Ta'ala, the true Allah Wala has a love of the world and ghairullah in his heart. It's not possible the true friend of Allah, a true Allah Wala has a love of dunya and ghairullah in his heart. He only has the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. The question now arises as to who is the true Allah Wala. May Allah Ta'ala make us the true Allah Wala. The true Allah Wala is the one who makes every possible effort to attain Allah Ta'ala and exerts himself in guiding his murids so that they may attain the same. He should not be treading the path alone, because the guide who treads the path alone and overlooks his murids is not a complete guide. On the other hand, a complete guide, a true guide, is the one who treads the path of Allah Ta'ala himself and is also considerate of those traveling with him. He continuously says to himself, let it not be that they have lost their way. Thus the true guide is the one who travels while keeping his companions also in mind. So have you now understood what true Piri Muridi is? That Piri Muridi relationship which has become so commonly misunderstood is due to bogus and fake peers who, for the sake of mere worldly gain, Just teach a few wazifas to the murids, but do not teach them how to live a life of piety. The murids of such peers always remain like raw kebabs the whole life. On the other hand, there are those other peers who are genuine awliya Allah. They continue to guide the murids in the path of Allah Ta'ala with sincerity and heartfelt pain. However, it may also be that some of the murids do not pay heed to the advice of their sheikh. Thus they remain raw and deficient the entire life as well. May Allah Ta'ala give us the true understanding of the tasawwuf. May Allah Ta'ala make us reach him with ease and afiyat. May Allah not make us have wrong intentions. And may Allah not make us remain raw and deficient our entire life. So this is the condition. Why? Understand this very nicely. He says, this is the condition because he who flees from undergoing hardships, and does not tolerate the pain of safeguarding his eyes and abstaining from sins, and he who does not undergo the grief of fighting his unlawful desires, then he is in fact prepared to bear the grief of separation from Allah Ta'ala. Who wants to be separated from Allah Ta'ala? Everybody wants that he should be close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He'll gain the qurb of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And how does a person gain the qurb of Allah Ta'ala? When the person flees away from sins, he abstains from sins, he runs away from sins, and he is able to bear and take this hardship, this pain on his heart, when he is lured by sins and he turns away from sins. So he gets this pain in his heart because he was tempted to do the wrong, but for the sake of Allah he moves away. So this pain that he exerts upon himself brings him closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But that person who does not want to tolerate this pain and he wants to enjoy the sins, then he becomes distant away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He becomes in fact separated from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Such a person will always remain raw and deficient. Neither will he attain the enjoyment of life, even dunya also. Nor will anyone else become intoxicated by his fragrance. Nobody will be attracted to him. Nobody will be connected to Allah Ta'ala through him. Understand this properly, he who does not bear the pain of the path of Allah Ta'ala will never attain Allah Ta'ala. In order for us to be able to tolerate such pain, Allah Ta'ala has revealed, La ilaha illallah. In this way, he's indicating that we must bear the grief of abstaining from ghayrullah. Only then will we attain nothing except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Concerning this, Hazrat used to say, La ilaha hai muqaddam kalma tawheed mein. Ghair haq jab jaye hai, tab dil mein haq a jaye hai. La ilaha illallah comes first in the kalima of tawheed. When all besides haq vanishes, and every other love that you have in the heart, it vanishes, then only does Allah Ta'ala come into the heart. Then only haq Allah Ta'ala comes into the heart. Ghairullah will destroy you, and you will attain nothing from them. What will these temporary beauties give you? When they do not possess any power over their own safety and well-being, then how can they guarantee safety and well-being for you? Leaving Allah for ghayrullah is the height of foolishness. For how long will you continue with such nonsense, as it says? After all, there must be a limit. And you know, the moth comes. When beauty fades away, then you choose to flee from it. So a person used to love that woman. She was very beautiful, very pretty, but when she becomes an old nanima, and she got wrinkles in her face, as you see, bara number chashma, and she's got a wig on, and she's got a walking stick and all false teeth, now you flee away from her. Or even if she was young, but suddenly she gets some disease, Allah save us. Now you just want to run away from her. She doesn't have, why? Because her beauty has vanished. So when beauty fades away, then you choose to flee from it. But for how long will you continue to flee in this manner? Why did you not flee from that which you were commanded to flee at the very moment that you were commanded to do so? This is the meaning of فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. It means to run towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Flee from غَيْرُ اللَّهِ, everybody, everything beside Allah, towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Flee from Allah's disobedience to Allah's obedience. Thereafter, Hazrat explained the proof for need of sohbat of Ahlullah and the very famous verse which we mentioned before and we discussed, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِي يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient and to sit with those sahaba who are calling and supplicating, making dua and dhikr day and night, seeking Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Mawlana Pulpuri Ramadur mentioned a riwayat that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in one of the homes of his wives. And Allah ta'ala commanded him to go out and sit in their company. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit patiently. And he has to bear some difficulty upon himself and to sit with those sahaba. He says, no doubt you are enjoying the remembrance of my name in solitude. But if you remain in that condition, then how will the sahaba benefit from you? Therefore, you must come out of your home and sit amongst those who are remembering us, remembering Allah Ta'ala, in your masjid and make them sahibi nisbat through the method of nubuwat which we have granted you. It is through them that Islam will continue to spread throughout the world. Hazrat says, so my Shaykh used to say, that if sohbat was not necessary, then why would Allah Ta'ala have made his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undergo the hardship of making himself accompany them patiently? So the whole thing boils down to sohbat, being in good company. And the person is in good company, then you find that the good habits come into the person, then the love of Allah Ta'ala comes into him, then ghairullah comes out of his heart. Can one find comfort in applying such patience? The implementation of patience is difficult. If I tell the person to make sabr, it means he's making sabr on some type of difficulty that's come upon him. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing Rasulullah or instructing him to have patience or to sit with the sahaba patiently. In other words, it's something going to be difficult to bear on the heart or on the nafs. And now you've got to strive and you've got to be patient. But look how Hazrat Mawlana Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned. He says, the implementation of patience is difficult. But Allah Ta'ala had made this patience sweet for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was not sending him in the company of strangers, but rather he was sent in the company of the lovers of Allah Ta'ala. Meri zindagi ka hasil, meri zis ka sahara, the purpose of my existence, the support of my life, tere aashiqo mein jeena, tere aashiqo mein marna, is to live amongst your lovers and to die amongst your lovers. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba were the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the lovers are sitting together. Nabi Kareem is commanded, he is the greatest lover of Allah ta'ala, to sit with the other lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this patience Allah ta'ala made it sweet for Rasulullah sallallahu. And therefore Hazrat says that Allah ta'ala it is as though Allah ta'ala is saying, oh my Nabi, I'm not commanding you to sit with aghyar, ghair, with strangers. Person is told to sit with strangers. First time in your life, you're going to sit with people you don't even know. You haven't met them. You don't know their habits. You don't know who they are. What the response will be with you sitting with them. How will they, what the attitude will be. You find yourself feeling very uncomfortable. So it's not aghyar. Oh my Nabi, I'm not commanding you to sit with aghyar, strangers. Rather, they are your yar. Yar is your loves, your beloved ones, your friends. And they are also my yar, they are my beloved ones. To sit with aghyar is no doubt discomforting and difficult, but to sit amongst yar is enjoyable. Then Hazrat explained about waspir nafsaka ma'alladhina. In one of the majlises we explained this in detail, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Rasulullah to sit with the sahaba, and the sahaba were seeking Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Then he says the incident of Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah Ali. It's a lengthy incident. He says, Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to mention this incident of a buzurg who used to cry in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in the seclusion of the jungle. He would cry, saying, oh Allah, how will I find you? Where should I search for you? Apne milne ka pata koi nisha, tu bata de mujhko e rabbe jaha. Oh Allah, tell me, what is your address? Tell me this, O sustainer of the world, give me an indication of where I could meet you. So the person is genuinely in love with Allah Ta'ala, and now he's seeking Allah Ta'ala. Who was his Buzruk? He was Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah Ali. He had 6 brothers. Sultan Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah Ali was inspired by Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat explains in this whole incident. Hafiz Shirazi is in the jungle. He is asking Allah, making dua, Ya Allah, I am seeking you. Where should I search for you? I want you. I want your love. I want your ishq, your muhabbat. He's all alone in solitude. Far away, Allah Ta'ala inspires Sultan Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah Alayh. And he says, there's a lover of mine. You must go there and make his tarbiyat. Go and make the tarbiyat of one of my servants who is the son of such and such person, and he is crying in my remembrance. And he was also shown the face of Hafiz Shirazi in a dream. Ah, how this restless heart and these tearful eyes calls the Shaykh to them. So the real muhabbat, Allah is now sending the Shaykh to the murid. Sultan Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah went to Hafiz Shirazi's father and asked him how many sons he has. Father said, I've got 7. He says, call them, I would like to meet them. So he calls them. Only 6 came. And all of them, they were worldly minded. Sultan Najmuddin did not see the one whose face he was shown in the dream. He then asked the father, don't you have a 7th son? He says, yes. But in reality, I don't consider him to be my son. He's unworthy of being my son. Why? All my other sons are business minded and working. Whereas this one just wanders in the jungle crying like a madman. Hazrat Sheikh Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah replied, madman, that's the one exact person I am in search of. And then he goes into the jungle and he finds Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah Ali. He says, meanwhile, Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah Ali was also informed about this Sheikh by means of ilham, inspiration. Hazrat then explains about Kashf. Now we also hear Kashf, Kashf, what is all this all about? Kashf, divine inspiration, is not within the control of man. It is not a voluntary action. Rather, it is completely under the control and order of Allah Ta'ala. The example of this is similar to when Allah Ta'ala sent the fragrance of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's shirt from Egypt to his father Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam in Canaan. However, when it was not the will of Allah Ta'ala, then even when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was cast into the well of Canaan by his brothers, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was unaware of it. So the same shirt, or the same person's shirt, when he was in the well, then Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam did not know, he was unaware. When Allah Ta'ala wishes now for him to sense that this is my son's shirt, then Allah Ta'ala has control of it. So, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam did not have any control. Otherwise he would have known that my Yusuf is in the well. Whereas he was able to smell the fragrance of the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from such a distant, far place, Canaan, far from Egypt. Thus we come to know that Kashf is only within the control of Allah Ta'ala. We should correct our belief regarding this matter. Hazrat explains some bogus spirits and the Kashf and whatever claims they made. He said, there was a peer who would go around deceiving people by making them believe that he performed salat in the Kaaba. He was in some village. There was a masjid in the village. People are going for namaz. He said, no, main to wahan padhta hu, in the Kaaba. And the people used to believe him, poor ignorant people, they were the murids. The reality of the matter was that he never performed one salat. One Maulana Sahab was going past, he came to know, he told the village people, listen, why don't you stop people, why don't you people stop feeding him food from the village? Don't give him any more food. Tell him now he's going to Kaaba Sharif, let him eat the dates from Makkah and Zamzam water of the Kaaba Sharif if he's there. If he's really performing Salat in the Kaaba, then why does he leave the blessed food of the Haram Sharif for unblessed food of this village in India? So they took advice. The advice was Maulana Sahib understood by the disciples, so they all got together and said to the Peer Sahib, from now on we're not going to feed you from our village anymore. since you perform salat in the Kaaba Sharif, then you should also eat dates and drink Zamzam water from there. And bring for us also some. When this fake pig didn't receive any food for 3 days, on the fourth day he came out and said, brothers, from now on, I will perform salat in your masjid. I'm not going to go any more Kaaba Sharif. I decided I'll read namaz with you all. But the village people refused, saying, now we are not going to serve you any food, because you will be performing salat for food, not for Allah Ta'ala. Then the villagers chase him out of the village. It says, my Murshid Hazrat Shah Bukhari, Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali, mentioned one village. He was an imposter. We should tell people that he is God. Many people had brought faith upon him. One alim told his wife to gather some 3 to 4 day old food that had gone bad and bring it to him. He then put that food in a container, took it to the imposter, presented the container to him saying, I brought this food for you, Hazrat. When the imposter opened the container, his head spun due to the horrible smell of the rotten food. He then said to the Maulana Saab, you have committed blasphemy to your Lord by bringing this rotten food. The Maulana Saab replied, you have supposedly made the claim of Godhood, and God is the giver of sustenance. Thus, whatever sustenance you have granted me, I have now presented that before you. Another incident of some fake peer. There was one peer in the village who would never lead the salah, never makes imamat, never lead the salah. One day the people put him forward to lead the salah. Bichara doesn't know anything. Due to the fact that he was completely ignorant, not even knowing how to read the salat, he thought he should deceive the people in order to save himself. So when he went to lead the salat, he started saying, dat, dat, dat. People asked him after he said salam, what on earth he was saying? He replied, there was a dog trying to enter the Kaaba Sharif at that moment, so I hushed it away so that it won't enter the Kaaba. There was a clever person amongst them who made a plan of inviting him and all his disciples over the food, or for some food, in order to expose this person's tricks. So he managed to get away there, but this intelligent person said, okay, let's call him, give the people a dawat, call all those town people, the village people. After inviting them, he brought this person, this peer saab, a plate of rice with meat hidden under the rice. So the meat was camouflaged, only rice on top. When the peer saw this plate of rice only, without meat, he angrily said, with red eyes bulging out, this is how you deceive me? Or this is how you treat me? The peer is supposed to be hosted with meat, and all I see is nothing but rice. The clever host then stood up saying, brothers, your peer claims that he even sees the dog at the Kaaba when in actuality, he can't even see the meat hidden under 1 inch under the rice before him. He then removed the rice to show the pieces of meat hidden below. And all the disciples repented from their foolishness and chased the fake peer out of the village. So as it continues the story of Murid and Murad, and then he says, so now we know who a true Murid really is, the one whose Murad, objective and aim is only Allah Ta'ala. As long as your eyes are on Ghairullah, then you are a fake Murid, you are not ripe, you are still like a raw kebab. Neither have you attained the ecstasy of Allah Ta'ala's love, nor will you be able to give that ecstasy of that love to anybody else. When you become intoxicated in the love of Allah Ta'ala, and your heart becomes like a roasted kebab by burning your evil desires from your heart, then Allah Ta'ala will spread the fragrance of that burning heart throughout the world. Wherever you go, people will perceive the love of Allah Ta'ala within you. May Allah Ta'ala make us like that, inshallah. And then he gives another couplet. He says, to live and die for Allah's pleasure is true love. Neither to fear any blame nor to fear the world. He says, now tell me, look at the rights Allah Ta'ala has of us, that we should please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our beloved, and we should ensure that we don't displease Him. He who makes an effort in pleasing Allah Ta'ala, like for example, we read salat, dhikr, tilawat of the Quran, we do acts of good, act good, some good deed. So we are gaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. But at the same time, the person does not give any importance to abstaining from Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, then we find that this love is deficient. From this verse of the Quran Sharif which we are discussing, it is established that the true lover of Allah Ta'ala, the true salik, is the one who performs such deeds which please Allah Ta'ala, and he strictly abstains from those actions which displease Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He sacrifices his life in order to abstain from all sins, and especially the casting of evil glances. Hazrat used to always say, na dekhenge, unhi hargiz na dekhenge, ki jinko dekhne se Rab mera naraz hota hai, I will not look. Never will we look upon whom looking at displeases our Allah. So that pretty woman, I will never look at her, because my looking at her will displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, if you get enjoyment in committing such sins, then recite another couplet, and what is it? We consider such pleasures worthy of being cursed. Hum aisi ladhaton ko qabil-e lanat samajhte hain ki jinse Rab mera ae dosto naraz hota hai. We consider such pleasures worthy of being cursed, by which, oh friends, my Allah becomes displeased. Therefore, make a serious effort, and inshallah, even the traces of the sin will be wiped out. Through the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the rose of the garden of love will start to bloom within your heart. We all have those roses. All it requires, it must now blossom, it must bloom. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatul Ali used to say, Akhtar takes an oath on Allah Ta'ala, that when the special closeness of Allah Ta'ala is attained, then this entire world will become insignificant in your eyes. You will forget the stinking private parts that you were destroying your life over. Even the desire for obscenity comes out of the person. And the person now gains the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we said Hafiz Shiraz, Jiraduddin, Rahmatullahi, now when Shaykh Sultan Najmuddin Kubra comes and looks at him, then he says that your eyes are the alchemy of transforming earth into gold. Cast upon me such a glance, transforming my baseness into gold. In other words, he wanted the nazar of his Shaykh, so that he may also become a true friend of Allah Ta'ala. Oh my beloved Shaykh, that glance of yours which transforms worthless dust into valuable gold. Is it possible that you may cast that glance at me also? Hazrat Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah said, I have cast a glance. See, although we have cast a glance, however, a mere glance is not sufficient. After a considerable amount of time, under the spiritual supervision of the Shaykh, will something be attained. Thus, Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah annihilated his nafs and made himself dust at the threshold of his Shaykh, Hazrat Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullahi Ali. Only then Allah Ta'ala granted him his special nisbat and connection with him. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. If Allah Ta'ala wills, we will continue. But the khulasa, the gist of whatever we've read today is to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. To gain Allah Ta'ala's love, we have to remove from our hearts ghairullah, everything besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And let us become true murid, our murad is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should search for that person who has the real love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person just sees those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately Allah ta'ala is remembered. Person thinks of Allah ta'ala. Let us not be like those deficient people, or don't become like raw kebabs. Let us become those roasted ones by annihilating those passions and desires we have in our heart, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before moth strikes. And then we won't be seeing any more spring. It's all over. So before that time comes, Allah has given us those roses in our heart that require that blooming and blossoming. May Allah ta'ala make it possible. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.